Who's that coming down the street? Who's that coming to meet me? Is that two hexy mamas?
Yeah, that was
Shut good. Up, that was so good.
You're live in 5, 4, 3. Are you ready?
Hold on.
Did y'all want coffee?
No, I'm good, thank you.
You don't have any sugar-free stuff, do you?
I do.
Like we do? No, we don't. She could have black coffee, and that
isn't... I don't like just black coffee.
The sugar in the Amaretto creamer, it's sugar from just, like, the 5 grams of carbs in it. So it's a carb-based sugar. It's not an added sugar.
I think you're lying.
No.
I'll show you the...
Like, I can eat, like, honey. Like,
we have honey.
I'll do a little honey.
But honey and coffee, I don't know about that.
I'll pass. That way I don't have diarrhea either.
I don't know. I've never put honey in coffee. To me, honey is a tea thing.
What?
Honey's for tea.
No, I've had honey in coffee before. Ooh. It doesn't, I mean, I think I'm just so used to, like now I'm so used to not having all that added sugar that it tastes fine to me. When I did Glitter Minis, I had a friend, it was my cheat day, so yeah. I had a friend, she offered, she was like, do you want anything from Starbucks? And I was like, well, maybe I'll get that, the drink that I always used to get, and I got it, and I was like,
It was too much sugar.
It was too much. It was, like, just gross.
Yeah.
I didn't even finish it all, which is weird. It's not weird. It's good that I'm not eating so much sugar. But
I wish I could cut out sugar, but that will never happen.
Just start, like, slowly do it.
No.
It's so not good for you. Like,
listen.
They move cancer cells with
sugar.
Yeah, you
told me that, and it's not deterred me from eating my box of Thin Mints last night.
If you ever got sick, I would be devastated.
I'm aware, but... I really like
Did I tell
sugar.
You what happened with JC?
What do you mean?
It was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So she's at risk for having leukemia when she gets older. It was like 2 or 3 weeks, or maybe it was like a month ago. I was giving her a shower, and she had these big bruises on her arm. They weren't like any specific shape. They just looked weird.
Yeah.
And my heart sank because that's one of the signs for leukemia. Yeah. And I was like, what happened? What? Where did these bruises come from? And she's just like, I don't know. And then I called Jacob in the bathroom. I was like, Jacob, come look at this. What is this? And he immediately was like, have you been sucking on your arms? She was giving herself hickeys on her arms.
I like that he knew exactly what she did,
because
though.
Because he used to do it as a child.
That is so funny.
And I was
so
like,
funny.
Way to freak me the fuck out. Like, my heart sank.
I knew as soon as you said, I don't know. I'm like, yes, she does.
I got sick to my stomach. And
she
I was
is
like,
100% one of those kids that's like, I don't know. Because she doesn't want to get in trouble.
It scared me so much.
Okay, schmuck, are you ready?
And we're doing...
Washington.
Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
You're going first, though, right?
Uh-huh. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Two Hexy Mamas. What are you laughing at already?
I don't know.
This is the only part that's weird. Everything else is fine. It's just this beginning part that's always so weird.
I think we'll get used to it, but it's... I feel like when we're telling our stories, like, we're talking to each other.
Yeah, it's
so
not
it's
a
good.
Weird thing.
But the beginning part is always like...
Hey, I'm looking right at you, even though you're sitting right here. I'm Karina.
I'm Jessica.
And today we're talking about Haunted Washington, because the day that this episode goes up, it is President's Day, which... Mm-hmm. Is a holiday that no one cares about.
Well, school would be out, but because we had so many snow days.
Yeah, I need to ask my teachers about that, because they haven't said anything about whether they'll be in school or not.
Yeah, we have school because they miss way too many days. Which I'm upset about, because I was looking forward to a 3-day weekend.
But did you celebrate President's Day?
We don't celebrate President's Day, but I celebrate not having to wake up early.
Well, I guess I can't complain too much, because Killian doesn't go to school till 9, so, like...
Yeah, see,
it's
they,
not that early.
If they started school at a later time, and, like...
It wouldn't be a big deal.
It wouldn't be a big deal, and I wouldn't mind picking them up at 4 o'clock, 4:30.
Yeah.
But I pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a kid who had to, like, ride the bus,
I would be like, go to back to sleep
it would be
and kick
dark.
Them out. Yeah.
It would be dark when they would probably
Dylan's bus
home.
Ride used to be, like, 45 minutes long.
Well, Oof. Out in the country, so...
That's too much.
Mine was never that long.
Mm-mm. So Dylan gave us the task of finding haunted places in Washington, which is not what I thought would be the theme of a President's Day one.
Yeah, I thought maybe, like, like murders, like president murders.
Well, that's what I thought, but then you two pointed out that there was only two.
Yeah, so it's, that, there's only two, and everyone knows about them. So that's like,
but
how much could you really like dive into that?
To be fair, I don't know about yours, but mine actually has some presidential influence in it.
Mine does not.
Okay, well, mine does. So the Octagon House was built for a man named John Taylor the Third, who was known as the richest Virginian planter of his time. And he was going to build the house somewhere else. I can't remember where it was. I think he was going to build it in Virginia. But then his sister's husband's half-brother.
Hold on.
Was, yes.
Sister?
So his sister, uh-huh. Her husband, his half-brother, so her husband's half-brother.
Holy shit.
Was George Washington.
Okay.
And he was like, no, Washington, D.C. is going to be the capital city now. I want, like, you need to be here. Like, this is where things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, you should build your house here. So he did. And it was originally constructed to just be a winter home, like, that they popped in and out of. But,
like a vacation home.
Yeah. But they ended up living in the house year-round from 1818 to 1855.
Okay.
The family, so he wasn't penniless, but he wasn't, like, your typical rich guy. Like, he worked for it. They did everything. They did shipbuilding, horse breeding and racing. They owned iron foundries. And he was known as, like, the most diversified plantation family. So he did everything. He was like, I'm going to make money any way I can. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, because of the time period, he was also known to have hundreds of slaves.
No.
And at least 12 to 18 working in the Octagon alone, the Octagon House. He had, just imagine this, he had 15 children.
Back then, though, that was common.
It was, but it still sounds like a nightmare.
Because, well, if you think about it, back then, so, like, you'd have a baby, and they would die before they even age two because
13 lived to adulthood. I actually put that, because I was surprised by that, because I thought the same thing you did. Is like, I was like, half of them probably died by the time they were, like, five.
Yeah.
No, 13, I mean, a lot of them died very early in adulthood, but they survived past
the time
being kicked out of the house, basically. Like, they survived being past, like, their responsibility. Mm-hmm. Two of them died very young, but the rest lived till adulthood. So, despite being a Federalist, President James Madison and his wife came to the Octagon in 1814 when the White House was burned down by the British. And he wrote the treaty that ended the War of 1812 in the Octagon, the president did. And they stayed there for like 6 months.
Airplane.
Do what?
Airplane.
Oh, I was like, what? No, it's Fort Campbell.
That's Fort Campbell?
Mm-hmm. It's the helicopters.
Oh, well, yeah, helicopter.
They fly super low over here.
Well, at our house, you can hear them, like,
shooting. Yeah.
The whole house will shake, mm-hmm. and I'm like, are you kidding me? Even into, like, the midnight. Yeah. Like, I'm like, can I go to bed? I want
to
sleep.
I would like to sleep. Please stop practicing. Yeah, no, they fly those giant two-blade Chinooks. Is that what they're, like, with the two blades?
I have no idea.
They fly those all the time over here. Mm-mm. Like, five or six at a time. In 1828, John died while in the Octagon, and then his wife survived and lived there till 1855.
Did he die of, like, sickness, or just
I just think he just died. I don't think he was too old, so I think he just probably just... She's like, I want the tablet.
Can I take it? I'll be slow and
quiet.
And not make noise.
But I'm going to stop.
But I'm going to stare at
you. I'm going to stare at you and have the most heavy feet for a time. Killian's like that. He's the most heavy-footed child I've ever met.
See, Delilah's not like that. But when JC, when she was younger, like toddler, like Killian, stomp, 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 stomp.
Killian sounds like a herd of elephants walking places.
Is he flat-footed?
I think so, because I'm flat-footed.
Me too, toe sister.
Don't touch my feet! Oh, my God. I hate feet so much. At least you have socks. Like, they're not as bad. If you had touched me with your bare feet, I probably would have punched you in the face.
Oh, well, good to know.
If you do, we will not be friends anymore.
We can do the hand holding, cross toes. I don't know why people do that. I think feet are ugly. But I'm not like, if someone touches my foot, I'm not like.
I don't mind if a hand touches my feet, because that means I'm getting a massage.
Not always.
Oh, well, in my house it does. In my house it does. I don't know. means I'm getting a massage if you touch my feet. So both of them are dead in 1855. After they died, the children, his children just began renting it out to different people. There was like a girls' home that was there. The federal government had a rented it out.
Did they have like separate housing, like off of the side?
No, it's like it was just like different times.
Okay.
And then at some point, like the Hydrographic Office of the U.S. Navy were there, and the American Institute of Architects was there until the 1960s. And the American Institute of Architects, I think, still are there or still own it or something, because they still stand by it's like one of the most like architecturally like unique and like well done buildings like ever.
And they, the what's his name, built that house.
Well, he didn't build it himself. Like he contracted it. I should have written down who built it. Whoops, sorry.
It's okay. I was like,
well, I feel bad. I'm like, that poor man built it really well, and yeah. I just am like, well, forget you. The Octagon was restored and opened up as a museum in 1970, and it was it's now a National Historic Landmark.
Is it just like Washington in general, like museum, or like is it?
It's a museum for the Octagon House. Yeah. It's, you can walk it because the president did live there, and all these important things were there. So because I even looked on like travel, like travel lingo or travel whatever that like thing is, and I was looking at people's reviews of like the music, because like it's a walking thing. You pay like $20 and you can go.
That's not bad.
Yeah, and like they were like, it was such a fascinating place to go see, like the amount of information and history in this building is incredible. So like a lot of people go to it. They're like, it's a hidden gem of history.
We went to a museum, like usually I'm like, museums are, I love museums, boring. But we went to one in Georgia when we were visiting his brother for his basic stuff, and oh my goodness, they had like a ship, like a huge ship in the middle of this museum, and you walked on the ship, and it had you went through different eras of like wars.
That's cool.
Amazing. And they had projected like movie images from that era onto like scenes, like Dylan took amazing.
Dylan took me to the Titanic Museum as a surprise when we were in Gatlinburg, and it was one of the best days of my life. One of my favorite TV shows is called Mysteries at the Museum. Like, I watch TV shows about museums.
I want to watch TV shows about museums.
It's a very good show, because what they do is, this is so off topic, they find,
I feel like we've been off topic a lot. It's a Monday.
They find unique museums that like maybe you don't know about, or even some really popular ones, but then they'll find artifacts that often are missed or maybe aren't out in the front or whatever, and they're like, here's this story like behind special. This item.
Yeah.
And so like sometimes they're creepy, sometimes they're really cool, like sometimes it's like, this just looks like a plane that's just sitting here, but it's actually a plane that did this really crazy thing. And so, like, it's just things you wouldn't have known just by walking in.
Right.
It's one of my favorite shows. I learn a lot on watching it. It's, like, my way of learning. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so now the Octagon, like I said before, is considered one of the most haunted homes in D.C. Apparitions and presences are felt all over the house. Mm-hmm. People report it, like, crazy. They said it's a lot of feeling like you can't go to certain areas. Like, it's like a feeling of, like, you walk and you're like, ooh, I shouldn't go over there. Mm-hmm. They said it's a lot of that. So one of the oldest legends about, that came from the Octagon was the ringing of the servant bells. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a regular bell. It was like apparently a very high-tech bell system for the servants. They rang them when they needed them. So the spirits of the dead servants would ring and announce their presence.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy who owned it, his granddaughter, she grew up in the house, and according to, like, this is, like, first-hand account, the bells rang for a long time after my grandfather Taylor's death, and everyone said that the house was haunted. The wires were cut, and still they rang.
Wow.
Our dining room servant would come upstairs and ask if anyone rang the bell, and no one had.
Wow.
So they cut them, they, like, tried everything, and they would just keep going.
Wow.
The bells would ring every night at the same hour, and they would all ring at once, which I think
hour?
I don't know.
Is it, like, the witching hour?
Probably. Mm. I think it's fairly impossible to ring them all at once, too, because I think it's, like, a bunch of different pulleys.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, but they would all ring at once. Mm. And considering they had, like, potentially 18 plus slaves, that's like 18 bells at least.
Yeah.
I would think in one case the wires attached to the bells, there was like so one time some man was there for dinner or something, and he was like a super big, super strong man, and he was like, this is ridiculous, this is crazy. So he like grabbed the wires and he held them.
What?
And they were ringing so hard that he got picked up off the ground.
What?
Like, that's how. And like, they like made it very clear that he was a very strong, very large man. So I don't know, like, I don't, apparently they were like, it was basically impossible.
That's weird.
And this is like firsthand accounts. Like, this right. is like writings and like diaries mm-hmm. and documents. So the Bells are no longer in the house. They just went they ahead and out. Just took them out.
Yeah.
And ever since they took them out, they stopped ringing.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, that would be weirder if they kept ringing.
Like,
you just heard the ringing. Noise coming from? So remember how I said that James Madison and his wife lived in the Octagon for 6 months, the president.
Yeah.
And in the first lady. So apparently, if this is not the dream scenario, I don't know what is. Dolly Madison, his wife, was notorious for being like, she held a lot of parties. She was like the ultimate entertainer as far as like the first lady went. Like, she held all these parties. She is haunting Washington, D.C. like all over.
What?
Like, people are
so
like,
so she just strolls
she
about.
She does.
Like,
she just goes to different places.
I'm gonna haunt this place tonight. This looks like the right place to be.
Yes. She like, she's like, today I'll haunt this room. Because like, apparently she is like the most active ghost, because she goes everywhere. She haunts all over Washington.
I wondered if she doesn't know that she's like dead. And
well,
she's...
apparently, so she haunts the Octagon. Mm-hmm. And even though they only lived there for 6 months, she did host like some gatherings there. And she can be seen holding parties in the front hall and in the drawing room. And the way you know she's there is, like, the room gets filled with the smell of lilacs, which I guess was the smell of her perfume.
Yeah.
But apparently she's just chilling, holding parties. I'm like, if I was going to be a ghost, that is the best. Like, everybody's like, oh, look, there's Dolly Madison again.
Well, some
like,
people
hosting
say,
parties.
Like, when ghosts are haunting an area, it's like they don't know they're dead, and it's just like they're living, they're reliving
she
pieces from their past.
Throwing parties, though. That yeah. sounds great.
Like, when you have deja vu, they say, like, you're, like, dead and you're remembering.
Ugh.
Yeah, well, it's clearly.
Well, that's
like,
terrifying.
Yeah, but they say, like, you're dead and you're reliving something that you've already lived through.
Ugh.
Which is weird.
That is weird. Wait, that would mean we were all dead, because then everybody had deja vu?
Not everyone.
Oh.
Not everyone has
it. Do you?
It. Yeah, I have it. I have it
oh,
all the time.
Oh, okay. I was like, I have it. Not all the time, but I do have it every once.
No, I think I had it here recently when we were playing D&D, and I was like, oh, well, she's about to roll or something.
Girl?
Yeah. Girl?
So one of the most popular ghost stories, so this is weird. So the most popular ghost story is one, you'll see why it's weird. So it's weird. It has to do with his daughters.
Okay.
So apparently, so the first of one of his daughters died just before the War of 1812. John and his daughter had a fight on the second floor landing over, she started a relationship with a British officer, which was like a big, like a no-no.
Really?
Uh-huh. And so when she tried to leave... something happened, and she fell down the stairs
okay.
and died. Potentially down the stairs, potentially over the railing. They don't... I couldn't... It was like... every time I read something, it was like one or the other. Stories say that you can... like, apparently one of the ghost settings is you could see her crumbled body at the bottom of the floor, like at the bottom of the landing, or you see her in the form of like a candle floating up the staircase.
Mm.
The second daughter's death... came shortly after in 1817. She apparently eloped without telling him. He got angry. They were fighting on the landing of the third floor.
I see a pattern.
Something
here.
Happened when she was leaving and she fell down the stairs and or the railing again.
I see a pattern here.
So apparently these stories have appeared in like a lot of TV shows, books. Like, it's like a haunting that like everybody knows about. I read about it on like six separate
websites. Yeah.
But the weird thing is, the reason why it is, I said it's weird, is because it's very highly documented, but, or like the sighting is very highly documented. But there is no historical evidence that either of his daughters, that like literally his daughter, one daughter died after, the two daughters in question, one died after he was already dead, and the other one died not even in the house. So people are like, how can these daughters be haunting if they did not die that way at all? But there are hundreds of people that say they saw this.
Hmm.
So I'm like, that's really weird.
That is
like,
weird.
Like, super weird. So... So that's why that one's a little off. But in 1888, 12 men decided that they were going to stay in the house and they were going to expel the negative energies. They were going to get rid of the ghosts, blah, 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 blah. But they were like, it's not real. We're going to show you. We're 12 big burly men. This is what they said. One of the men said in an article, because it's been very, it was written about a lot. He said, the hours wore quietly on. The party had dispersed from the garret to the cellar. So I imagine from the top to the bottom. Mm-hmm. At the hour of midnight, as I and two others were crossing the threshold of a room on the second floor, three feminine shrieks rose from the center of the room. Aghast we stood, from all quarters of the party rushed, too brave to desert, yet cowards at heart. We watched the gray light of morning dawn, and each man of us thanked God his night among the ghosts was past. After those screams, our band closely knit together. Collectively, we listened through the waning hours of night to the clanking of sabers and the tramping of footfalls. So basically, these big, big, huge 12 men huddled up in a corner of this house, pissing themselves because they were terrified of these ghosts.
I honestly, if I was in a group of 12 people, I probably wouldn't be as scared. Well, I would think,
but
that's true. I've never been in
something happened that 12 big ass men were like, hell no. So now it's a museum. Mm-hmm. It's and you can go. Museum caretakers have said that spirits will turn on and off the lights, doors will open and close, just the standard
haunting.
The standard haunting. And then they get a lot of guests who will come in and be like, oh, that guy in costume downstairs. And they're like, what?
Bitch.
And it's
ain't nobody in costume here.
It's a man in men in 1800s military uniforms. Apparently it happens a lot.
Well, it's a museum. Excuse me. So spirits haunt items too.
Exactly.
So
I imagine that.
Yeah.
There's like tons and tons more reports, but a lot of it's just very small things. Like, you hear the rustling of silk, hanging lamps swing, spots they feel they should avoid, human. And then they said a lot of times there'll be dust on the floor, and they'll see human feet, like, in the dust. Like prints.
Barefoot.
Yeah. Well, I guess it could be shoes, too. I don't know their shoe preference.
Well, I mean, if there's shoes or barefoot.
Well, like, they'll watch it pop up. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bitch.
You can, for $20... tour the Octagon yourself. So that is the Octagon House. It is the most haunted house in Washington, but I was like, nothing is scary, which I think is nice. The only thing I got from that story is that Dolly Madison seems amazing, and I'm like,
of course you do.
Because what you're telling me, you wouldn't want to be a ghost that haunts all of Washington, D.C.?
No, I don't want to be a ghost. I just want to, like, be gone and then go on to the other life, whatever that is, just go on.
I don't want to host parties.
Of course you do.
The late lives.
Who would you host a party for now?
Oh, so I don't host parties.
Exactly. Like, so who are you going to host a party
for? Me and Dylan. Me and Dylan will just host parties, just the two of us, and haunt Killian. That'll be it.
I cannot.
If I could haunt Killian for the rest of my life, I would.
That is so traumatizing.
But not, like, haunt, like, in a bad way. Just, like, hey, Mom. Like, hey. Like, I'm just chilling out with you.
No. That is so traumatizing.
No.
No.
You saying you wouldn't stay with the girls.
So, sometimes my mother passed when I was 10, and so sometimes she wore this very specific perfume, and I don't have the best, like, relationship, even though she's dead. I resent her a lot for some of the choices that she made, but sometimes I am somewhere and I get a whiff of her perfume. Mm-hmm. See, that kind of haunting, like, that's okay.
That kind of,
but, like, if you're, like, perfume, knocking over my shit or, like,
oh, no, I'm not
yanking
trying to be
my hair.
No,
and,
I'm
like,
not trying to be mean.
Scaring the shit out of me, like, appearing out of nowhere into a corner.
I'll be like,
that is not.
Here, Killian, here's a bowl of oatmeal. I ghostly made you.
Oh, like, yeah, that's creepy. That's like when you turn around to do something, you turn back around, all the cabinet doors are open.
That's me.
No, bitch, get out of my house.
I told Dylan, I was like, if I die before you, which is very likely, I am much less healthy than he is.
Stop it now.
And I was like, I will haunt your penis till the day you die.
Why?
I will have so much fun. I'll yank the covers off you, and he'll know it's me. He'll be like, God damn it, Karina, like, let me have this moment. And, like, I was like, it will be so funny. It will be so funny. That's my plan. That's my plan.
For the rest of his life. Yeah. And then when he's dead, it's all good.
Then we're fine. Then we haunt, then we can go cause shit together.
Oh my God, I cannot.
If you're alive, I'll make sure to haunt you too, don't worry.
Bitch, I'm gonna sage my house. I am not a stranger to sage and Palo Santo. You'd be out of my house in no time.
What if that was your way of finding out it didn't work, was me haunting you?
How dare you? Don't even... I will not stand for this.
I will not stand for your bullshit. Tell me your story.
Okay, so in true Jessica form, I looked up the nearest insane asylum.
Yes.
And so I found the Northern State Hospital, which there's two alternate names. It's the Northern State Hospital for the Insane. And then I feel like as time went on, they had another name for it, which was the Northern State Hospital for the Criminally Insane.
Ooh.
And there were already insane asylums around. So they specifically built this one to help with, like, the overcrowding from the other asylum.
Mm-hmm. What's better than just letting them go?
Yeah. And it was opened April 1st, 1911. And then it closed in 1973. I didn't find, like, what month it closed.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone cares. Nah. And then it's in Cedro Woolley, Washington. And it's haunted because, like, you know, it's an insane asylum. So it's
the site. I believe all asylums are haunted.
I mean, there's so much emotional.
Yeah. Like,
there's too much emotional attachment in hospitals in general. Well, and most people die there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's said to be the site of many deaths. Partially due to, like, you know, the experiments that they did back in the day.
Oh,
like,
I believe it.
Transorbital, like, lobotomies, and then patient-to-patient killings.
Oh, yeah.
And unmarked graves. And
that was a thing,
mass unmarked graves, and we'll talk about this later. But I feel like the most interesting thing about this hospital, I'm putting that in quotations, invisible quotations, it was kind of like a farm... hospital. So the hospital consisted of four cottages, so it wasn't just like a big building.
I see what you're saying.
They had patients work to, you know, get water or work to, like, grow food and all this stuff, and they believed that labor would help some of these patients, which
it probably did. I can see how that could help,
probably, but I feel like some of the patients were just too far
really help. For sure.
Like, special attention was really given to this hospital. Like, they took into account, like, what would make me, if I was crazy, the aesthetic of this room would make me freak out more if this specific light was in here or had too many specific windows on this side of the house. Like, that kind of thing. So they paid very special attention to the hospital to make it safer for their patients.
Because most of them, that's always the horror stories you hear. It's like... people died because they didn't give a rat's ass. Like, like the Cropsey story, they were just, like, letting these kids, like, sit around naked and, like, posing them off. So, I mean...
it was very, like, modernized for that time. So, but I don't know.
I mean, they're never good, but I mean, I mean, it's better than nothing.
Yeah. And so the first homicide by one of the patients was in February of 1922. And then just as it goes on, like, you know... they kept getting worse and worse, just naturally.
Yeah.
But throughout time, the actual diagnoses were, like, so vague. Like, I feel like people were just like, oh, well, there might be something wrong with you, so we're just going to, like, stick you in this hospital.
Women with postpartum got stuck in asylums all the time. Yeah. All the time. So, like, and that's not institutionalization worthy, usually, at least.
No, but back in the day, it was.
Yeah, they just didn't know what to do with them.
If you saw something, like, oh, you're crazy.
Yeah.
If you had different colored bowel movements, oh, you're possessed.
Like, well, I would have just... well, poor me.
Deaths occurred due to excessive labor. Because, I mean, if you think about it, they think that all this labor, manual labor is going to help. They probably overworked specific patients.
Oh, I'm sure.
Electroshock therapy and lobotomies.
Oh, it's good.
Many people called it the bug house. Because of all the experiments that went on there, like, patients weren't really patients. They were more like bugs. Like, not, what is the word for it? Like... you know, you're not as important. I can just use you and hope that this experiment might work.
They're like disposable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like bugs.
Yeah. I get it. Then someone else said that Bugtown was the name of the area that the asylum was built over, so that's why it was called that. But the latter makes more sense.
I'm sure it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. The thing about this is, it closed, the mm-hmm. hospital closed, but it is open for, like, what is it, like, a job corp facility, and then a drug rehab area. Yeah.
Come get your job at the old asylum.
Literally. But, so, spooky happenings. There's reports of shadow people, which, bitch, I ain't
talking about. Your favorite.
I'm not talking about them.
I'm surprised you even wrote that word down.
voices, screaming and crying, mm-hmm. which they say most screams and cries are not, like, real-life EVPs. They're, like...
residual stuff.
Residuals yeah. from the past. Like, something very traumatic happening. So, it just replaying. Things being thrown, specific people being pushed or touched, cold spots in areas where there shouldn't be cold spots.
Yeah.
A nurse who is pushing a male patient in a wheelchair can be seen in the area. And ghost hunters, not the Zach guy, the original ghost hunter. So the big bald-headed
Taps.
Taps. They
dude, I used to love that show.
They went to this area in 2008.
I feel like it's some of it was sounding familiar.
But they, like, it's not, I mean, they didn't really find anything.
Taps,
like,
was one of those ones that, like,
went there to debunk things.
Right, and, like, they often were, like, they didn't find it. It's, like, it's almost, like, the complete opposite of uh-huh. ghost hunters. Yeah.
And then there's a few other ghosts. A prankster named Fred. That's in quotations. Who the hell knows, like, what his name is?
Well, so unless you just make up a name?
He's been known to toss sheets, like bedpans. Rude.
Gross.
And, of course, witnesses have
Why are bedpans still in there?
I mean, I highly doubt that they cleaned out everything. I mean, there's probably... It's a drug rehab facility.
Okay, well, I get the bedpans in that situation. So maybe, but it's like in the job. I thought you meant like in like the job.
No. Because there's four different like areas. So I'm maybe in like a, or maybe the one drug store. Rehab area.
Okay, that would make sense.
Like they're just completely mm-hmm. just not able to do anything for themselves. People have seen the apparition of a man and a little girl with a red ball. So, specifically, a little girl with a red ball and a man that follows her, which is very creepy.
I was like, that's terrifying.
And then a nurse that hangs from a noose,
which
is very sad.
My nanny always said that, because she was a nurse. She was a nurse, like, majority of her life. She always said that people who worked in, like, and she just worked in hospitals, so she just worked in, like... the wings, where, like, people came in and out. They didn't stay. It wasn't, like, an actual asylum. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, a psych
treatment
ward.
Treatment area.
Yeah, and she said that usually the doctors who worked in those kind of places ended up with their very own, like, very much so with their own set of problems.
Did you ever watch ER?
Uh-uh.
The old show?
Uh-uh.
I used to watch it with my dad when I was younger, but I started rewatching it. And I feel like I didn't really pay attention to it when I was younger, but I started rewatching it, and then there's this psych doctor
mm-hmm.
who is seen, he dates one of the other, like, regular doctors.
Yeah.
And he starts having his own, like, mental disabilities by watching these people.
Yeah, could you imagine, though? Yeah,
I couldn't do that. I can't even handle my own mental issues, like, me trying to tell other people what they need, please.
Me too. I can't even handle my own neurosis. I can't. I don't need to handle other people.
Literally.
Listen. We handle each other's neurosis, and that is enough.
That is enough. That's plenty for our husbands, at least.
Well, Karina said, maybe I should just sage myself.
That might help a little.
With our useless giving advice. We're uh-huh. like, why we listen to each other is beyond me.
Because yeah, we don't even listen to ourselves.
We don't listen to ourselves, and the other one has just as many problems. Yeah.
Oh, and they have steam tunnels below the ground. Course. And I guess, like, a movie was being shot there. Why? Maybe a scary movie.
It's scary.
Movie.
I was like, it's scary, so why not?
But so they're in these steam tunnels, and this actor would say this specific line, and I couldn't, like, dive into what line he said. But apparently, every time that he said the specific line, because you have to do retakes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every time he said the specific line, like, tapping would start somewhere in the pipes. No, I tried. I didn't really.
You couldn't find it.
No,
yeah.
Naturally.
Always the information you would like to find. Yeah,
exactly. And so, like I said, the hospital closed in 1973, and parts of the facility are used for Job Corps and drug rehab. And I found Job Corps statements. I, like, really tried to die. Because there's not too many stories, like, specific in-person stories, like our very first podcast where I had, like, much juicy information. It's very hard. So I went on, like, some of the reviews for things. And one lady said, I went to Job Corps in Cedro Woolley, Washington, which is the same area. And the drive to there was creepy, but when you got to Job Corps, it felt like you were being watched. My time there for 6 months in 97 were anything but peaceful. I heard loud noises and had a feeling I was never alone when I was in a room by myself. I also didn't feel safe there. You could not pay me to go back there. And then another guy said, when I went to Job Corps in the October 2015, December 2015, I experienced being scratched, shadow people, a voice saying, come play with me, and being growled at. Oh, hell no.
Oh, no way.
I got feelings of sadness and anger.
Well, duh.
And remember when I told you, like, the whole unmarked grave deal? Okay, so approximately 1,500 people are buried in the Northern State Cemetery. And there's only one tombstone. are considered, like, the forgotten souls. There's only one tombstone and 1,500 buried bodies.
Let me tell you, that's my worst nightmare, because when I go to... I'm that weird person at a graveyard that's, like, stepping like a goose because I don't want to step
on. No, it's not. It's being respectful.
But some people don't care. People just walk.
Right. It's not, yeah, I get it. But I do the same thing.
Let me tell you, because Dylan's family likes to have Easter egg hunts in the graveyard where their family is buried.
That's extremely morbid.
And I hate every... I didn't go. I was like, I'm not going. Like, I can't. No, But, like, the few times we've gone... Like, we go to visit, like, the grave during holidays, which that makes total sense. And, like, we put little decorations on the grave. But, like, the whole family's just walking like it's no big deal. And I'm, like, with my legs in the air like a little, like a lunatic.
Because
I'm like, I will
way.
Not step on these people. Like,
it's, yeah.
Can you imagine? That's my worst nightmare, though. You don't know where they are. Mm-hmm. You're just walking
stepping
all over people.
All over them. Since the hospital closed, the blocks that identified deceased patients by initials, like, I don't know how you would do that. Because
yeah, how do you, I was gonna say, how do you do that?
1,500 people, but they were removed. Mm-hmm. And then all the records that were pertaining to the burials were lost when the hospital closed, which is, like, so irresponsible.
What? Yeah.
And they had a crematorium in use at the hospital.
Oh,
from
God, there's probably way more dead people.
From 1913 to about like 1955, and so they were contracted with the local crematorium.
Oh, okay.
So I guess it was just like a back and forth kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But when the hospital was closed, there was 204 containers of cremated remains stored in the morgue. And the morgue attendant had never gotten around to burying them. The unclaimed ashes...
Sorry, I was just really busy.
Right. And so the unclaimed ashes were buried at Hawthorne Cemetery in Mount Vernon, which, nope, I'm assuming that there was very little record of them
as well.
So it's just
crazy.
All kinds of fucked up shit.
That's good. I like
good.
That one.
I was,
no, I'm saying it's a good story.
Oh, yeah. No.
That's good.
I was like, I don't have any personal information.
No, I liked that.
It's just creepy.
Just creepy stuff being
yeah,
creepy.
Yeah, there's no, like, I feel it's all, like, just factual information. There was no, but, like, specific.
But that's what our podcast is. Just creepy for the sake of being
true.
Creepy.
Very true.
Well, have a good useless President's Day. if you're off school or work,
congratulations.
Have fun.
You lucky bastards.
You have clearly not had snow days like we have. Think of your favorite president today, and I don't know. What is the point of... I just don't understand.
I don't understand either.
Enjoy your favorite president, the memory of your favorite president, and not the one we currently have. I mean, am I wrong?
I mean, you're not wrong.
So keep it hexy and enjoy President's Day.
Oh, and do not forget to send
oh,
in
yes.
your forget every time. I do. Don't forget to send in your spooky stories. I think we need one more story.
We do.
And then we're going to have like a little mini episode where we read and chit chat about these stories.
Mm-hmm. Give the email this time.
HexyMamas@gmail.com
Yes.
Aha! Gmail!
Yeah! Gmail! Yeah, because, no, don't worry. You're the only one using AOL still.
How dare you?
You, I don't understand.
Don't knock it. It works. If it ain't broken, don't fix it. Am I right? Yes, I'm right. Thank you.
No one uses AOL.
Lots of people use AOL.
I will not listen to you.
Well, that's fine with me.
It's HexyMamas@gmail.com
Yep.
So send one more story, because I really want to read these other ones, and it's killing me because I'm trying not to read the other stories because I want to be just as surprised when I read it as, like, you are. Or, like, I just don't want to read them. So I've been, like, so I just opened them so I could see what they, like, oh, hey, here's a story. Okay, and I close it. So I'm, like, dying to read them. And I, like, I've scrolled to see, like, just how long they are. And I'm, like, they're good. They're lengthy. Like, yeah. So I imagine there's a lot of information. I want to read it.
I could always anonymously send in my ghost stories because I have a handful. Well, like, 3-4
Okay,
like
so bad. Maybe if by the end of this month, or by the end of March, because we have March already booked up, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
But if maybe by the end of March we don't have one more email,
which
then
is
we'll just do
unlikely.
Unlikely, but
we should just do like a mini episode of our own. You don't have any besides the one in your house.
Yeah.
But maybe we could have Dylan talk.
Yeah,
on this
I was gonna
podcast.
Say Dylan do it.
And me and Dylan could share in our spooky stories.
Right. I'm just useless. But anyway, keep it hexy. Have fun. Enjoy presents. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Two Hexy Mamas is written and performed by Karina and Jessica. It is produced and edited by me, Dylan.
Look how quiet he is compared to us.
This is the first time the girls have ever seen the actual track being laid down, and they can see the difference between me actually right up next to the microphone and them just talking to themselves. They're very loud, and that's why I always make sure to talk about myself at the end, because I do a lot of editing. I produce... and the lots of editing. Thank you for the microphone, Jacob. Good night. Good night. Stay hexy, lasses.
Keep it hexy.
Keep it hexy, lasses. I don't know.
Even from far away, I was loud.
Leave me be.